I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to The Parenthood. Today we're focusing on mothers and the importance of their lives and ambitions beyond being a parent. Having spent the last 6 years teaching antenatal classes to a group who are often passionate about their work, truly committed to their jobs and have no intention of any of this changing once they have a baby. On the Bump class, we try and encourage them to have an open mind about what lies ahead, because from experience, I can tell you that it all changes when you're a mother. The problem is that it doesn't change forever, and many women find themselves with no job once their children have moved on, desperately wanting the stimulation and challenges that a working life brings you. They often end up losing confidence and self-belief. They become bored and frustrated, and this unhappiness is often picked up on by their children. Having sacrificed it all to be a parent has turned out to be the one thing that is preventing them from parenting well. So what to do? Today I have Louise Webster with me. She's the founder of Beyond the School Run, which is a website that supports women who are keen to explore a return to the workplace. Louise has also written a book, A New Way for Mothers, which explores the ideas and practicalities involved with going back to work. Louise, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Marina, for having me. It's great to be talking to you.
Louise, thank you. I love your website. Loved reading your book too. Tell me a bit about yourself. What inspired you to start Beyond the School Run, and what were the issues you were hoping to tackle?
Yeah, well, thank you for that with the website and the book. So I previously, before I had children, ran a PR agency and always loved work, so never really questioned not working, because I was always very passionate about it. But what I was very conscious of was flexible working. So when I set up the agency, I was very mindful of that I was going to have children and that it would create a flexible working environment. It turned out it wasn't flexible at all, and I'd created a very old business model. And I remember thinking, after I'd had my son, he was about a year and a half, thinking it wasn't quite right. The story wasn't quite right. In fact, I think I'd felt that I'd maybe created a story. It didn't feel as authentic as I felt now becoming a parent. I really felt it needed to be. So I sold the agency, moved on from the agency, and took a little bit of a period of time in between having children. And during that time, I was very kind of aware of everything that was going on around me, and became very, very conscious. My son studied at school, aware of the talent at the school gates and what was kind of happening socially. And it was actually also at the time where there was a lot of discussion about the empowerment of women. And then I started to look to return flexibly, because I knew that with my mind and everything, I needed to do some work, but I also knew that I was needed to be there for the children. So both personally and on a much bigger scale, and also because my second child was a girl, I started to sort of dream up this idea, because I really wanted to see some change, and I was really passionate that the old way wasn't working. It wasn't working for me. It was all or nothing, and it wasn't what I was looking for. And I couldn't see any role models either. So I was sort of like, I need to be here for my children. I see it as a journey. I know the windows of time will open up, but in the meantime, I need to be able to engage my brain. I need to stay connected with the wider world. And I need to have a journey, a career journey. And there must be something out there. And I kept telling myself, there must be something. And that's when the information started to come to me. And it was really interesting. So I started reading Ken Robinson's book, The Element, Finding Your Element, and various other books, Eckhart Tolle's The Power of Now. And in that period, and it was very much when my daughter was very little, so there was a lot of kind of stillness around me, and it was a really good time to engage with this information. Those particular books were a massive turning point, I think, for me in my life. And this idea started to come up. And I've often had business ideas, but I remember very clearly this one was on a day where I was having a really bad day, and everything. I'd gone to the Royal Dahl Museum, and buggy had broken, no one was helping, it was raining, and there was loads of... And I literally came back with the children. I remember I applied for a flexible job, and I didn't get it, and I was overqualified for it. And I just walked out, and I went outside with the buggy and started walking, and I just went, And this idea just started to come to me, and I scribbled it down. I showed my husband, who normally is like, not another idea. And he just went, yeah, I think this is something. Or this is something that's important, and it's important to you. And it started to unravel from there. And I've really been doing it exactly what I talk about with Beyond the School Run in the hours available to me whilst the children have been growing.
Being a role model, the role model you were searching
for.
Well,
certainly for myself and my daughter, hopefully. And it's taken time because you actually have to unprogram a lot of programming. And that's been part of the process, I think, for me, is unprogramming that pattern. Certainly the early days was sort of unprogramming that real need to be working in this kind of 9-to-6 structure, working in London in an office. I had to reprogram all of that and actually just start to really connect with what are the real things that light me up? What are the real things that I believe I can bring in the hours that are available to me? And what is it at the end of each day when I've utilised those hours and then I'm focused on the kind of the day-to-day with the children that really make me feel like I've had a fulfilled day and feel like I'm moving forward?
Yeah.
So, yes.
Well, because I think what certainly has struck me since having children myself is that you are really resourceful when you become a mother. You are so, you know, negotiating with a two-year-old, negotiating to put shoes on is probably one of the hardest things I've ever done. Yeah. So, I mean, you emerge from that sort of bubble of new parenthood so skillful.
Yeah.
You know, you realize that you can get things done in a very short amount of time if you really need to get them done. You can operate on far less sleep than you imagined.
And you are also, your creativity, I think, is unlocked. And I think this was one of the big things for me in setting up Beyond the School Run. I felt that this point in our evolution as human beings wasn't being supported. And that at this point in which you've given birth and you've come through that stage of that early years, I've really felt that with the right wisdom, the right connections, the right positivity, the right support, we could nurture some amazing talent, but also create really positive world change. Because what happens, I experienced, once you've had children, you start to become much more empathetic to the wider world. So this was a real issue for me, was I was kept thinking about the fact that all this wisdom and empathy collectively could not only change our individual lives in the hours available, so this is about not in the hours available, but also on a much bigger worldwide scale, we could support each other and create really positive change. So the actual original idea was an exchange skill amongst parents in other countries, and we could sort of, but I really knew that I needed to focus on the talent, a kind of pool of talent initially, and then broaden it from there.
Yeah.
But yes, I think we evolve into this amazing place when once this is nurtured, I think we'll see amazing things happen.
Yeah. I think what's tough is that you have a baby and you do emerge into this bubble where suddenly you can hardly put one step in front of the other. You know, those early days when you're feeding every 1, 2, 3 hours, you're hardly having any sleep. You're totally overwhelmed by the magnitude of the job that is just, you know, in whose lives you've just stepped. And and the understanding that this isn't going to be a week or 2 weeks or even a month or two. This is kind of the rest of your life, which obviously isn't the case, because it does become a lot easier and your children sort of start sleeping a bit better and they start being a bit more sociable. But I think very often parents struggle then to, I think you've talked about finding your flow. They've sort of lost their mojo.
Yeah.
They've lost their passion. They've lost the language that they used to use.
Yeah.
And they've lost their confidence.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that is trying to get that back. How do you have any tips on how you refine that?
Yeah. So my book, actually, A New Way for Mothers, really focuses on that. And I think a lot of it for me is actually in this time of becoming a parent, is actually a window to really discover lots of elements of who you authentically are. So in this point in which you feel like you're losing parts of yourself, you can actually take this time to rediscover really parts that maybe you never even knew or you'd forgotten. And those steps are, I think, very much available to you on this journey. I talk a lot about the children are your greatest teachers. And I read quite a few books on this, and it's so interesting because you can actually learn a lot through those kind of experiences. But I know exactly that feeling, and I think that lack of connection. So there's definitely ways in which you can really work on that, keeping yourself connected, but connecting with yourself first every day. And that, again, exploring what are those things that help you connect, help you feel empowered, help you feel lit up. And that might be exercise or mindfulness. But certainly keeping a combination of focusing on your well-being, consciously throughout your day, you can reshape, I think, how we can all work in the future, just generally in those early years, by really relooking at how you do all of it. It's kind of like a reshaping, I think, of everything. And shedding yourself of all those patterns and habits that maybe you no longer needed.
Mm.
So it can be so, I think, so hard in the early years. At the same time, I think there's ways in which we can come through it more whole, more authentic. And as I say, that most of my book is kind of focused on that, is actually, I think it's a very clever process in showing us up these things. And I'm not saying those early years are easy in terms of lack of sleep, but I think also bringing in that village, I think all of the learnings, and I think that's what's great now about social media and a lot of people sharing, each generation sharing what we're experiencing through parenting, because it's definitely the hardest job we ever do, is if we're all authentic in showing how it feels. Because I remember when I set up Beyond the School Run and started talking about this concern, no one was really talking about it. And I was thinking, why is no one talking about this? You know, I'm not... Is this just me? And then it started to open up. So the more people share really what they're feeling and experiencing.
And not just the perfection.
We start to then reshape what needs to happen. And then people step into the potentially the jobs they're meant to do. So I'm speaking to a lot of people who are coaching other people. So I'm sort of seeing this really interesting stage where people are kind of moving into the things that maybe they were really always destined to do. And that is fulfilling them. But I think if you try and hold on to the old way, that will then start to be a struggle, because then everything does feel a bit hard. But if you almost let it kind of show you the way, I know it's easier said than done sometimes, but as I say, there's lots of tips in my book, it can really open up this whole new path.
What helped for me personally was surrounding myself with intellectually stimulating and interesting things, whether that was listening to them or watching them. I think a real sort of tipping point for me was making the decision to switch off daytime TV, which somehow started with kind of breakfast news and then ended up with, I mean, I can't even remember, Homes Under the Hammer. And I just thought, when I've been watching the 56th episode of Homes Under the Hammer, it's not surprising I was feeling a bit low. And I remember thinking, right, I'm switching off and I'm going to listen to Radio 4. And now, actually, with the advent of podcasts, being able to curate what I'm listening to so that, yes, some of it is lighthearted and entertaining, and some of it is really thought-provoking and, you know, generates ideas that then give me... interesting conversation, things to write about, new ideas for businesses. And I think that's really important, because so much of being a new parent involves sitting around and feeding your baby, or, you know, washing up or tidying up or sorting out the house, which is a huge step when you've come from a sort of full-time stimulating job to go then to basically menial sort of household tasks is difficult. But if you can stimulate yourself intellectually through what you're listening to, be it science or tech or fashion or music, then it makes that whole thing much more enjoyable. And you're not also totally engaging with a TV program. You're still being able to engage with your child and smile and talk to them. But at the same time, you're stimulating yourself and giving your brain a chance to work.
I think it's so important. And this, again, I've got a there's a chapter in my book in the start of it about engaging your brain. This is something exactly that I found. Also, I found that I think with this small amounts of windows of time that you have to engage with the content you want to engage with, it's so important to make sure it's really pure and really engages with you. And I remember just thinking this, again, in the early years, is if I'm going to engage with content, it needs to be really... it needs to really connect with me and be honest with yourself. So it may be the case that someone does listen to something else and it works for them, but it may be the case it doesn't work for you. So you don't feel... So I just switch things off if I'm not getting... And it's like a little light. Mm. It lights you up and you hear something. So I used to listen to Marie Forleo and various people from the US who were talking a lot about growing businesses. And I just would listen to her vlog. It felt like I was retraining myself. And it wasn't that I needed to go to school or anything. It just meant that I was in that maybe 10 minutes I had. I felt like something had lit up. And that was enough for me to fill in that window of time. And I still maintain that now. So as soon as I've dropped the children off, I won't engage with it. I won't read the newspaper because that just doesn't feel right for me. I'll just only engage with the content I know that really helps me focus on my work. And I think the part of that is, again, is identifying what works for you. So I think, as I was mentioning earlier, I'm seeing some amazing mothers who are going on and doing some great things on Instagram around fashion, and that was maybe never their background. But in the windows of time they've had, they've started to explore what they probably were always deeply passionate about, but maybe never pursued it. And then you start just to see some really great things happening. So, and I think the other thing is, and I often talk about this, it's very step by step. So giving yourself the space to recognize the fact you're working so hard as a parent, that there is no rush. And on this journey that I explore, with it being a new way, is this is a long-term journey and exploring what our natural talents are. And by doing that, we'll hopefully recreate a new way of working for our future generations, because we don't really know what our jobs are going to evolve into. When I started Beyond the Scroll, I had no idea. I was like, really, what's this going to turn into? I don't know. So we can't really often define what our job roles are, although I think as human beings, we seem to like to do that. And by doing that, we can open this up for our children, because we don't know what their jobs are going to be or how the world is going to be for them. Equally, we were showing the same level of exploration as parents, going, what I am doing is I'm working hard, I'm following my passions, I'm being curious, and I'm being authentic. And all those things lead you down a really interesting path. And I think also with all that, like you say, all the other sort of day-to-day things like the washing and cleaning, is when you do the one thing or the few things in your day that really light you up, somehow the rest of the stuff feels a little bit easier. I'm not saying all the time, but sometimes. So if I've done something and say I've written an article and it's really flowed and I'm like, that was what I was trying to say, and I wrote it, I'm like, okay, the rest of the stuff feels better. But creating a right routine is really key as well. So to do that early on in the day,
in a way, we almost need to think of, you know, that sort of break we have when we have children as a kind of job detox.
Yes.
An opportunity. Because actually, I remember so well being presented with the, you know, what are you going to do when I was 18? What is your job going to be? I had no idea. And quite frankly, podcasts didn't even exist then. Most of my friends, their jobs that they do now didn't exist.
No.
So to sort of put that pressure on an 18-year-old and say, well, you need to choose is ridiculous. We're far too immature to make that decision.
No. Yeah. And I think by us taking this new way will actually hopefully stop that, and that will actually reshape and create a much more holistic approach for them. I absolutely agree.
Yeah.
Think anymore. Yeah.
I've got to say that when Ludo was born, I had this sort of detox moment. You know, I was running an events company, and it was a job that I was very passionate about. It was my baby before I had a real baby. And I said, you know, to my team, I'm taking 6 weeks off, but then I'll be back full time. And I then very quickly realized that that was totally impractical and incompatible with my life as a mother with a husband who's away a lot. And I then had to totally rethink my career. I ended up taking a little bit of time off, but actually quite quickly thinking, I need something else in my life. It's not for everyone, but for me, I feel that I'm bored. I feel that I just need some extra challenge. Yeah. And that's how the Bump Class was born.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
You talk, I mean, we touched on this briefly, but this idea of sort of finding your flow, finding your passion, this revisiting of what really makes you happy. How practically do you go about it? What tips would you give someone who sort of feels that they're in that void right now to sort of baby steps, starting to sort of understand a little bit more what might be really rewarding for them?
Yeah, I would say firstly is take the first step and open your mind to it. Mm. So the moment I open my mind to doing something differently, like you sort of spoke about, worked in PR, it was completely different. At the moment you sort of say, I think there's something else, things, you're already taking step one. Secondly, I really think there's some amazing coaches out there now, and I share lots of them and want to share more as a Beyond the School Run platform grows.
And for those people listening, like, I had no idea, what is a life coach? Yeah, what do they do?
I didn't, but I think, again, this has been evolving. So in this process of the last 10 years or sort of once since I've been a parent, this is sort of, women have been, and men have been evolving into these roles, who maybe have been in different roles. They come and help you, they create the space for you to work this out. So I didn't necessarily specifically have coaches, but I did have various people that enabled me to, enabled me to work out what I had in my head and gave me the confidence. Even one conversation, one meeting would make me go, okay, I need to take that next step. I'm not going to go back to the old way, but I feel this is, for every reason, this is the right step to take. So I would say, though, and then start reading and start exploring your talents, because really there's a great time in those windows where you are looking after the children. I know it feels very full time, but you can also go and have a meeting with someone with a baby, or you can go and volunteer, whatever it is, explore those talents. So I remember doing some, I would never have thought in the old days I would set up a website, but as I started creating content, I remember thinking, I love doing this. I would never have thought, if someone had said, are you going to do that? I wouldn't have thought I would do that. So start exploring. And if it creates this little light that gives you this, then you'll know you're on the right, you keep following those. And also cut out all the rest of the stuff that doesn't. So if you are finding you're engaging, you maybe, for example, you're finding it sort of a little bit, the conversation maybe just when you're out and about, not so inspiring, just only really try and connect, or only connect with the engaging content as much as you can, or find things that engage and inspire you. So keep taking those steps, everything. And it's amazing those steps that take up, because some days you think, what have I done? But actually that one email to someone, moving in that direction, reading some TED Talks, listening to TED Talks. I listened to so many TED Talks in the early days. Ken Robinson was probably the one that I listened to the most time. And it kind of, often they'd bring me to tears. So then I knew, what's this then, that it's making me so emotionally charged, that there's something about my purpose that's beyond. And so, oh, and there's great platforms now, there's great podcasts like yours and others that are stimulating. And whether it, also it may be the case that you need to be, there's an area of your well-being you want to focus on. And that's certainly something I looked at the early days as well, was not looking at this sort of just, it's just work. It's about us as a whole. Because when we look at us as a whole, if we have our energy sustained throughout the whole day, then we can achieve so much more. Whereas if our energy is dipping halfway through the day, then the likelihood of us achieving what we really makes us feel really fulfilled is not going to happen. So really to look at us as a whole, and I think is really important.
I think for me what really helped was sort of getting fit again. And not only did those endorphins, I think, really help, and physically, I think as a mother you do need to be quite strong and fit.
Yeah.
But I go running twice a week, and I have nothing on my run. I'm alone. I have no music. And it gives me an hour to sort of think. And very often I have the best ideas.
Yeah.
I will finish that run, not only having kind of exhausted myself physically or strengthened myself physically, but also with, you know, the line of argument for my next article or the idea for my next podcast. Yeah. And that for me is like a sort of little creative hub. But the key is not to have any other stimuli.
Yep.
So literally just have that, no music, on your own, in nature. And those 2 hours of my week are some of my most productive hours. I almost feel like the park is my office, or my room of creativity, or my creative space.
And it's available to everyone, which is just so amazing, isn't it? And I often say as well, because I didn't know this before children, is that actually that half an hour or hour that you go and exercise is probably, it gives you so much more back. So if you don't, I think your energy's low. It just is. I was remembering actually, I was trying to write an article the other day, and I was thinking, and it wasn't flowing. I sent it to my husband to look at, and he was like, oh, I'm not sure. And I just knew it wasn't flowing. And it was one weekend. I then had been to the gym, came back, literally sat down and just wrote it. Didn't feel like I needed to send it to anyone, because I just knew it was exactly what I wanted to say. But if it hadn't been for that sort of moment of running around or... So I think it's so important for us, and be so important for our children to see this is a key part of us as human beings, that actually movement and clearing your head, I think it's this kind of process of, it kind of clears your head, is so important.
And with our phones, you know, the fact that we walk around with supercomputers in our pockets mean that if we have a couple of moments where you're waiting for a bus or sitting on the tube, your default is to bring out your phone and start stimulating yourself. And actually, those moments of boredom are really important for our brains. And yet we don't have that many. So you always need to be quite careful about creating time.
I think you have to be very structured with your routine. I'm very clear about my routine now and what works for me. And I think you have to be very honest with yourself what is, and then stick to it. So, and I write about digital detoxing in my book as well, actually, because I really identified with that as really important in not in maintaining both your flow, but also your energy levels. Mm. Because if you're sort of overloading, that's just not going to work. So again, maintaining, I often just switch my phone off at certain times throughout the day. Once I pick the children, you know, certain things. And again, it's personal as to when you do. But again, I think it's just something, and it'll be patterns that habits that will be really beneficial for the kids.
And we're all different.
Last night,
I put the kids to bed. I had 2,000 words to write.
Yeah, and then we go online. And then it's all depending on who. And also it will probably change.
Yeah.
So as to where we are at that point. Mm. So I think it's about just getting to know yourself better.
And obviously kind of having a career again is all very well, but you're a mother, you already have a full-time job. Who's going to pick up the pieces? One thing I really liked in your book was the idea of creating the village to raise the child. And you know, in this world where women are taught to be brave and powerful and resilient and independent, that it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to ask someone a favor. I'm really flattered when people ask me favours or their opinions.
Yeah.
I kind of wish we could do it more, but there's almost like we've been conditioned to be quite steely and it's not okay to ask for help. And yet that's something that we need to teach our children, that it is okay to ask for help. And everyone, you know, it is impossible to exist totally independently on your own. And actually, sometimes it can nurture the most wonderful friendships if you do open up to your friends and ask for help. Whether it's, can you look after my child on a Tuesday afternoon for the next 5 weeks? You know, people can always say no.
Yeah.
But actually, very often it's a joy to be asked.
Yeah, I actually think that was probably one of the greatest lessons of parenting that I had, was just opening yourself up to that. And you're almost kind of forced to as a parent, aren't you? But I think this sort of story that we create in our head of we need to do it all. And I remember that point in which I kind of stopped and just went, I need to open myself up to support, whatever form it might be. So whether it's helping the house or just kind of friendships or looking after the children, it's just so important. And as soon as you do, you realize, and certainly as women, sisterhood is such a big thing. And I love it, like you just said, I love it if someone asks me. And even if I can't, I still say, you know, I love the fact you've just asked me, because I just think we thrive on that as well. And we're so much stronger together. You know, we don't parent in isolation. It doesn't work. You see that when our children go to school. You see that when, you know, you're running back late from somewhere and I just call up someone and just say, you can just help me out for 5 minutes. You know, it really is a much broader teamwork. And it's very collaborative, very fluid. It's very flexible. You know, the children change. They change classes. They change schools. But in that moment that you're in, I often talk about connections at the school gates. You know, I've had so much amazing support with me growing the business through those conversations at the school gates, or whether you're at nursery or in the playground or whatever. As long as you're sort of being open and honest and authentic, it's amazing what comes to you.
Aware that, I mean, the other day I had a call from my sister who had a horrible migraine and was catching a flight that morning. And she said, please, could you come over and just get the kids ready for the plane, just so that I get an hour to try and get rid of this headache. And I remember getting the text thinking, oh, I've got so much to do. But I went over and she really needed me.
Yeah.
And you know what? I left feeling really proud and glad and positive that I'd helped her.
Yeah.
And I think often you feel guilty about asking other people favors, but you forget how good it feels to be needed, to be able to help, to really impact someone's day. That is kind of one of the most positive things that you can feel as a human. So actually it goes both ways.
Yeah.
So not to feel guilty about asking for help. You know, you're only going to ask the people you trust and you admire and you respect for help.
And what does go out comes back as well. So it's such a, and I remember in the early days talking to this journalist, and she said to me, and I've written about it in the book, she said there's 5 things to have a full day. And I remember implementing it because I was thinking, I'm working from home, I've got these small windows. She said one is exercise, one is mindfulness, one is giving. And this was this kind of thing, and I kind of said, well, often as parents that's what we're doing a lot of the time anyway, but that's that sense of, you know, you're giving and a connection with your community. So whenever I'm working from home, I make sure that I pop down to the shops in my local area. And it really, when you identify, and it only needs to be tiny things, these 5 things, I've just forgotten the other one now actually, but the 5 things it makes such a difference to your general contentment personally throughout the day, and it's quite extraordinary.
Yeah, no, I think, and you're right, even those sort of brief conversations, one of my favourite parts of the day actually are drop off and pick up at school.
Yeah.
And I've now worked out a way to structure my day so that most of the time I can do that. And
yeah.
I thought I was the only one that really kind of geekily enjoyed that. But I was talking
lovely.
To a mother the other day, and she said, no, I just love that. I love seeing them so happy when they leave for school and so happy when they come back. And I love those snatch conversations I have with other mothers that are often so interesting and so stimulating
yeah.
and bring up all sorts of different issues and resolutions often too, as well as humour and empathy.
Yeah.
And it's a real sort of highlight.
I think it's amazing. And it soon changes. My son's just leaving junior school, and I kind of go, I would never change for the world those times I held his hand walking into school. But also the other thing I often say is ask each other about, you know, your jobs and what you do, because that's when you sort of get really interesting information as well, not just about parenting, but you kind of, and it's amazing. You talk to these people and you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't know you did that. Or
And didn't you find that you had some help setting up the website through
a parent? So much support. And there was in fact one dad, actually, I remember we were just waiting to pick up, and I hadn't spoken to him that much. And instead of talking about the kids, I generally don't when I'm kind of waiting until we've got the kids, because I think there's much more for us to talk about. And I remember mentioning to him about the website, and he said, well, I do, you know, I specialise in it. And I was at the early stage, and I couldn't work out how to get it all kind of aligned. He said, oh, come, you know, I'm in between jobs, come and chat with me. And it absolutely was transformative. And it was those moments I kind of go, that makes all the difference. It's all there. And we often think we need to be somewhere else, but actually it's often there.
You know, so
on your doorstep.
We see each other with like the parent badge on. We don't see us see them with the actual person badge
yeah.
on.
So if we show our person bit and also just realise that, yeah, really it is often there, I think, on our doorstep.
There are obviously kind of pros and cons to bringing up children in the 21st century. You know, the cons is, you know, we just touched upon before that there's often less of a community. It can be a bit more isolating. You're often away from your family. And then you've obviously got the kind of the dangers of social media and screens and all of those things that we deal with. But on the other hand, that technology has broadened our perspective. It gives us a broader choice of how we're going to work, so that when we do make the decision to go back to work, it's either a full-time job 40 minutes away from home or nothing. There is a much greater variety of flexibility and different jobs that can be really rewarding that we now have that our parents' generation didn't have. They just simply didn't exist. And I do think that has made that whole transitioning back to work for our generation quite a lot easier.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think it's the way what's available to us now is absolutely amazing. And I often talk about people engaging with their digital journey. So connecting at any stage. And I know sometimes people feel like they've sort of been out away from it for a while. So how to kind of connect with it. But there are so many opportunities. And when, again, used wisely and authentically. So for me, often, say, for example, with my book, it's about understanding exactly what is right for you. So if it's about, for example, it was for me about setting up a business. I remember thinking, I really don't want to set up another business, but I was like, no, it's in me. I'm going to have to do it. So if you're honest with yourself about what it is, you know, some people, I'm seeing amazing people, and I think I mentioned earlier, set up amazing Instagram accounts, inspiring, engaging people growing businesses, growing platforms like myself online, which I would never have dreamt. And again, I think the point with this is it is available to us right now. I often thought in the early days, this is being created for people like ourselves who don't fit conventionally into the current conventional workplace. This amazing digital world has been created to empower people to go on and achieve what they need to achieve. And used in the right way, I think that we'll see amazing things happen. So I think it's great.
Yeah. I mean, so if we go through the sort of different options,
yes.
essentially. Yeah. So one of the things that a lot of new mothers do is set up a business. It's obviously what I've done. And on the one hand, it's brilliant because you're your own boss. You can dictate your hours. If you want to take a bit of time off over the summer, that's generally okay because you're not having to justify it to someone else higher than you. It does have its downsides too, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And I think, again, you know, I often talk about this is, I think female entrepreneurialism is really important. It's really key to nurture. We're at a point where I think nurturing it is really important, but also knowing if that's right for you, because it is a long journey. You've got to be really, really, really committed to an understanding I think it's far longer than you often think. And for some, it might not be. And I speak to so many, and there's so many in the Beyond the School Run community who are looking for other ways of working. So it can be flexible working, i.e. finding a flexible role. And there's some great recruitment agents out there now. There's a lot of companies who are doing internship programs. We have a jobs board on Beyond the School Run. So this is really key. And I often say that any woman that's currently, for many women that are looking for this new way, is to those in those organisations are going to create the change that we need to all see. So maybe someone speaking up and saying, but this doesn't work for me 5 days a week. They will then go and change the direction in that business for future generations of women. So it's a turning point for all us women to kind of be clear about what is right for us. So whether it's being an entrepreneur and setting up from the beginning, that may be right for you. But if it's not, there's opportunities to grow businesses as part of other businesses, become freelance. I meet so many who are doing great job freelance, and maybe also that evolves. So you start at some stage and something else evolves. There's great platforms supporting freelancers. And then also creating, finding those flexible roles. And there seems to be also this real resurgence of people creating some really interesting businesses. I often follow the work of Holly Branson, her book, The We Economy, and you're seeing some really interesting businesses come through. So I think, if we for those that want to work in organizations, we're seeing interesting businesses growing, there'll be great jobs available too. And also speaking up and saying what we need, because if we're not clear about it, those people that don't have children yet will just step into that same issue as we're experiencing. So it's going to be a big holistic picture of companies, individual wanting to set up companies and create a culture and create something new, people working within those organizations, and then people working fluidly as consultants and advisors, and also great other businesses, other opportunities like Instagram accounts and Instagrammers doing really wonderful things. So I think there's a whole array of things. It's taking those steps to find out what's right for you.
And taking the time to think about it too.
Yes.
And think practically, because, for most of us, if you're going to go back to work, there needs to be some kind of financial compensation. We know, obviously,
yes,
the benefits are way more than that by stimulating a mother and making her happier. But at the same time, very few of us can afford to sort of delegate childcare and then have absolutely no financial compensation. And I think for me, setting up a business is great. And obviously, it's got a lot of potential, but you're putting in a lot more work before it even starts to be profitable.
Yeah.
And one of the main benefits is that the moment you're employed in a paid job, you are being paid. You don't have that long-term investment before you start seeing the kind of financial benefits.
Yeah.
And I think just being, being really realistic about as great an idea as you might have is how many hours you're going to put in, or how much even money will you have to put in, before you start, gaining, benefiting from it.
I think you need to be very clear. I think that's the thing, is very clear. But I think once you start tapping into your talents, it will kind of lead you in that right direction. And some people, a lot of people I speak to, just say they love being part of that bigger team. And, if that is for you and you're generally working really well in companies, then that is the perfect route for you. I also speak to a lot of mothers who are kind of bridging, and I think that's really interesting. So they're currently in jobs. For example, there's one that I sort of connected with recently, and she was currently in a role, but she was setting up a business alongside that. And then she got to the stage where she was ready to transition. So there's just so many, and everyone's circumstances are different. I think this is what we keep touching on, is we are all individual. Our support network's individual. It's all individual. It's being clear and honest with yourself, I think.
And then obviously there's the working from home. Some jobs obviously offer a greater degree of flexibility than others. And I think, 20, 30 years ago, employers were much less likely to offer flexible jobs. I think people are realizing that just because a job is flexible doesn't mean you don't get a lot from that parent. I see a lot of my friends working flexibly, maybe 4 days a week.
Yeah.
They are doing as much as a full-time job, but they're only being paid for 4 days a week, which, from the employer's point of view, is great value
it's
for
amazing.
Money.
And that's where often when I talk to companies and I'm sort of like, we've got this pool of talent, I'm like, this talent is incredible because you're so efficient. You're so aware of the time that you have, which comes in this sort of parenting journey, that there's just no time wasted with it. And I just think it's just incredible what you can then achieve. It changes, and also these windows of time that you have available changes. Yeah. You don't know it when you're in it, but the children grow, and then you have more windows of time. So it's a very interesting time. It's not just for parents. I think there's so much going on in terms of changing the way we're working, that as parents, if we evolve into this new way of working, which I think generations below us will, is we'll then see our careers much more, with much more longevity, and see them change and evolve with this flexibility that we learn to have, which I remind myself every time, children teach you to be so flexible. One minute you have a plan. I had a plan for something the other day, and then, or it was yesterday actually, and then my son was off, and then everything had to change. So you're constantly having to be very flexible. And this flexibility, I think, can just stand you in great stead to keep evolving into, you know, throughout your career, because it's just, and recognizing the fact that our role as carers as well is so important. I just think it's taking that time to also acknowledge what we're doing as parents, because it's ultimately the most important job on this planet, I would say.
It is. It is. And I think also understanding what different jobs there are out there. I met with the founder of an app called Hoop, a really great app for new parents, which basically you plug in your baby's or your child's age and your location, and it comes up with all the sort of activities, both free and paid, that you can do within a sort of certain area. And obviously that relies on content hugely. So what they do is that they get, you know, mothers to log in for however many hours they want, do that research, submit the research, so that literally women can say, right, for 2 hours while my baby's sleeping in the middle of the day, I'll log in, I'll do that, I'll earn 2 hours of money, but I'm not having to pay for childcare, I'm not having to commute. All of that is time that then costs money. Yeah. And actually there are so many other options now when it comes to still working, still earning money, still feeling that you're fulfilling a job,
yeah,
without having to do that traditional commute to work and be in an office.
Yeah, I think there's so many, and there's so more companies kind of open to this as well, or starting growing companies with this kind of ethos of working with this talent in these very kind of flexible windows. And I think hopefully, you know, the plan for me is through Beyond the School Run is to share all these connections with people, that when they're sort of thinking what direction, they can go on to Beyond the School Run and go, what do I need? Do I need the job opportunity? Do I need to find that flexible route, or do I need a coach? It can all be available, because I think trying to do all that research in that once you already become a parent is hard, because you can't kind of time restraint, but you want it all in one place. And I think there's great opportunities. I think we're going to see some really interesting change. I really do. I think it's an exciting time.
The other thing that I find is important is not be afraid of making mistakes. So if you think, I'm going to start a business, or I'm going to go down this route, or I'm going to start this Instagram blog or whatever it is, and then you think, actually, you know what, that's not for me.
Yeah.
That's nothing to be ashamed of. That is you learning, and we have to make mistakes in order to learn. It's actually a very important message that we give to our children.
Yeah.
So almost sort of jumping in and thinking, right, I've got nothing to lose.
Yeah.
Let's just look into this.
Yeah.
Let's consider this. Don't be afraid of sharing it with your friends and saying, I'm looking, and then saying, actually, you know what, it wasn't for me. When I hear that, I see a strong, clever woman who is able to discern when something is or isn't right.
Yeah.
And shame of it shouldn't be there.
And I love that as well, when I hear someone saying, this is what I'm going to do, or this is what I'm thinking of doing, and then starting to try it out. And I love that, again, that authenticity of people saying, I'm trying this. And I think that really creates the role models. I often look at the kind of younger generation who are growing businesses. There's a couple of and they're very honest in their approach to what they're doing and whether things work or not. And I love that. I think historically we often had this kind of, there was often an image of everything and the perfection side. And I just think the moment we stop the sort of perfection story, we just go, this is an exciting journey. It's called life. Let's take the steps and follow and listen to our passions, follow leads, be there and explore this journey, then I think we can all help each other.
Oh, well, it's been so great to talk to you, Louise.
Thank you.
Really
so
lovely.
Nice.
And I think it's such a refreshing conversation. You realise, I mean, I've just turned 40. My children are kind of spending more and more time in school. You know, we're probably going to live till 90 or 100.
Yeah.
You know, I probably still haven't got halfway through my life. And if I'd sort of never gone back to work because I'd had that long time with no work and I'd lost my confidence, that's basically the majority of my life. It's almost like you're kind of having a second career, and
amazing.
I think the fact that we have that opportunity that so many of our forebearers never had is such a privilege.
I think it's amazing, and it's so exciting to see what that will create as well. So it's all this wonderful creation that we're seeing from people doing this kind of second career or finding their work or their passions. I think we'll see some really and I'm excited to see how it all progresses.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Louise. It's been really enlightening and uplifting to hear you. Do take a look at beyondtheschoolrun.com, but also check out Louise's book, A New Way for Mothers, which is available from Amazon, Waterstones and all good bookshops. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of The Parenthood. If you haven't already, please make sure you're subscribed to us. But before you go, we have a big favour to ask. This year has been massive for us. Tens of thousands of people listen to our podcasts, but more might like to hear about us. And the best way for that to happen is word of mouth. So please do spread the word. The more people who listen, the more episodes we can record. And do check out our Instagram. We're at theparent.hood for what we're up to, planning on recording and giving us feedback on what you want to hear next. But in the meantime, from Louise and me, thanks for listening.